Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A., financial results for the full year of 2022. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today, with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for joining the 2022 full year results here with us. I'll go through some of the highlights from the previous year, and then we'll have a hello. Sorry, we had some technical issues here. As I was saying, I'm gonna go through the highlights of the 2022 financial results of Prumo Participações, and then we'll have the Q&A session. In 2022, Ferroporte handled 21.4 million metric tons of iron ore, which is a decrease of 7.6% comparing to the 23.1 million were handled during the year of 2021. The decrease was due to unplanned maintenance stoppages in Anglo's operations in the beginning of the second quarter of 2022. In relation to the production outlook, Anglo reported its forecast as being in the range of 22 and 24 million metric tons for the full year of 2023. For the fiscal year of 2022, Ferroporte was positively impacted by the increase of 14.1% in the take-or-pay tariff as a result of the increase of the PPI in 2021. This increase was actually partially offset by the depreciation of the US dollar against the Brazilian real in an average that was on average 5.4 BRL per USD in 2021, and 5.14 on average in 2022. Both impacts combined reflects an increase of 8% in the TR tariff revenues. As for revenues coming from the oil ships that are using the infrastructure which is shared on T1, which is the port access fees, we could see an increase of 71.7% to a total amount of 45.1 million BRL versus 26.3 million in 2021. That was due to an increase in port access tariffs, which were also escalated by the 14.1% and an increase in the number of operations, which both combined reflect this increase on the revenues coming from the oil ships. Ferroporte incurred in costs related to the maintenance dredging in 2022 in the amount of 57.5 million BRL. And if we take this dredging effect off and compare the Ferroporte adjusted EBITDA, we can see an increase of 9% in a total amount of BRL 828.6 million versus 760.2 million in the year of 2021. And the adjusted EBITDA margin decreased 105 bips from 82.9% in 2021 to 81.8% in the year of 2022. Ferroporte distributed to Prumopar and to Anglo American 96.5 million as the finalization of the repayment of the intercompany loans in the full year of 2022 and 371.1 million as dividend distribution, which is the format that follows the full repayment of the IC loan. At Prumopar level, total distributions were 259.6 million in 2022, an increase of 10.2% related to the full amount in 2021. In 2022, the cash received by Prumopar allowed the company to honor all the interest, legal, and target payments related to the bonds, accumulated cash, and distribute some of the allowed amount to its shareholder. During the year 2022, Prumopar distributed to its shareholder in the total amount of 100.7 million BRL. Just some highlights on the ESG front. Ferroporte, it's actually following a structure which is being done by a third party that's actually making a rank on the ESG policies, so we can monitor within the following years what is actually the advances that we have on this front. So this company, which was formed called Citaui Finanças do Bem, and now it's called NINCH, N-I-T, they have this process of making the score in with points that range from 0 to 10. And in 2022, Ferroporte was ranked as superior, which is a classification that they have, and obtained its higher score since the beginning of the reports with this third party making this assessment for the company. It's important to highlight that Ferroporte follows a lot of monitoring processes within this, and it's all checked by this third party to make this ranking. As we explained previously already. Just a few highlights in terms of the financial statements for both companies. First, starting with Ferroporte consolidated. So in 2022, the consolidated net revenues for the operation 10.6% in comparison to 2021, as we said, with major impact on the tariff with the escalation by 2/3 of the PPI, which we already stated in the beginning of the call. As a result of this, the take-or-pay revenue increased 8% comparing year over year, with the total amount of 1,091 BRL in 2022. And on the T-oil revenues, 71.1 with the total amount 45.1 million in the year of 2022. in terms of costs related to the operations. In 2022, costs for services increased 18% compared to the previous year. And it's important to mention that we have the take-or-pay guaranteed by the total amount of 26.6 million tons times the tariff that's escalated yearly depending on the PPI. The net financial income increased 181.4%, coming from a negative 18.9 million to a positive amount of 15.4 for the full year in 2022. Just some highlights on this: the amortization of the intercompany loan, which was fully repaid in March 2022, caused the interest expenses to be 1 million BRL versus 17 million in the previous year of 2021. For 2022, as I said, income before income taxes amounted 714.4 million, which is an increase of 10.8% compared to the 2021 total amount. And the net income for the same period amounted 473.6 million, which represents an increase of 8.9% compared to the previous year. Going to Prumopar, just some highlights on the income statement as well. So you have the full summary of the other information on Ferroport, and we can tackle that if we have any questions further. But jumping to the income statement on Prumopar, it's important to highlight that for the 12 months ended in December 31st, 2022, we could see net financial loss of 46.8 million versus an amount of 258.7 million for the same period in 2021. This variation was mainly due to the exchange rate variation of 99.1 million of positive impact in 2022 versus 110.3 negative impact in 2021. And the net result of interest expenses and interest income that were relatively stable when comparing 2022 to 2021. Results of the equity accounted investees increased 8.4%, totaling 241.5 million, and the net profit amounted 194.4 versus a net loss of 36.3 million BRL for the same period in 2021. So those were actually the highlights that we would like to bring on this call. And we can move now to the Q&A session and check if you have some.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star two. Our first question comes from Irina Mars with Kenden. Please go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you for your call. I was wondering if you can discuss how you see the volumes shaping out this year and how, in terms of your forecast of the margins, since last year you had some unforeseen maintenance expenses? Just wanted to see how you think of the upcoming year.
Okay, thanks a lot for your question, Irene. As I said, annually, Anglo updates their outlook in terms of the production from the Minas Rio system. You can see that on their website, actually. So the latest figures that they actually published there for 2023 full year, they put a range of production to be between 22 and 24 million tons for the full year. So this is the official, let's say, expected amount in terms of the production outlook for Anglo coming from Anglo on this year. And just to remind that as we have the take or pay independently, if they're moving physically the iron ore there, they make the payments for the total nominal available capacity, which is 26.6 million tons to Ferroport. On the second part of your question, so touching the point on the maintenance, of course, we do have within Ferroport a program of a specific maintenance for each one of the forthcoming years. And this is usually what's the regular program being actually implemented throughout the last several years and for the forthcoming years. But of course, sometimes we have to divert a little bit from those. So the topic actually arising from the maintenance, we actually went through the regular program with some deviations, but not that big in terms of having to make some of the maintenance outside the original program within Ferroport. What actually was touching and impacting the volumes that were flowing on last year were actually processes that went through on Anglo part of the whole system, which is from the filtering plant to going back to the mine. So they had some maintenance processes and a lot of heavy rains. The heavy rains specifically on the end of first quarter, beginning of the second quarter of last year, that impacted as well the volumes on 2022. I don't know if I managed to fulfill your question completely.
No, that was helpful. So some of it you said was kind of weather dependent. How is it shaping out, I guess, right now in terms of the weather effects? Or, are you expecting any other sort of maintenance activity or additional stoppage from Anglo? Sorry, did you hear my
Okay.
question?
Oh yes, sorry. I was speaking here, so I'm not sure if you were following. What I was saying, going back to the answer, is that they started the rainy season this year, well prepared, and we're not seeing any of the events that were actually impacting last year production. And so volumes are on track on the range that I just stated, which are the official ones coming from Anglo, between 22 and 24 million tons for the full year.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, the next question comes from Ruben with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Margins, if we were to hold FX stable this year, I'm curious how you're thinking about margins between your PPI escalator and cost increases that you're seeing locally, trying to figure out basically what we should expect this year, assuming FX is stable. And then the second question is, in terms of oil transshipment volumes this year, should we expect sort of a similar increase that we saw last year versus the year before, or more stable relationship?
Okay, thanks for the question, Ruben. In terms of the margins, which was the first topic on your question, I guess we have here on the material a graph that shows quarter by quarter what's the evolution in terms of the EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA margin for Ferroport. So on our side here, we pretty much expect to see something in relation to what we saw in the previous quarters on 2022 and 2021, which were pretty much stable and spread within those 2 years. In terms of the expectation for the volumes, the expected it's actually to see some increases as we have seen in the last couple of years, coming from the number of operations on vessels on the T-Oil terminal, which means that we'll probably see an increase in those amounts of payments coming from those operations to Ferroport at the end of the day as we go throughout the year.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then a couple of follow-up questions there. The first on the margin comment. In terms of the cost increase experienced last year, do you mind just describing a little bit in detail what drove that, whether that was labor or other sorts of costs? And then to follow up on the previous line of questioning around major maintenance expected for this year at Anglo, do you have any expectations for significant dredging at your own asset versus the assets upstream of you?
Okay, so first, starting on the end of your question here, I guess you mentioned dredging, right? So our dredging program, it's actually done every 2 years. So as we had last year, we're not seeing and making any dredging on T1 this year. So the program is to have the dredgers coming back to clean up the channel and the turning basin and the berths actually next year as programmed. So we're following exactly the same plan. And in terms of the costs, we actually saw some increase, as I stated, in 2022. If you compare to the total amount of 2021, there is an 18% increase, and we had some escalations on labor, as you said, and we had some on some impacts on energy costs as well, and I guess those were mainly the topics and that were impacting this on 2022.
Great, that's helpful. Thanks for time.
Thank you.
Okay, the next question comes from Thomas Lemons with Barings. Please go ahead.
Hi, Eugenio. Thanks for the call. I wanted to touch a little bit on this dredging that is supposed to be happening again in 2024. I just want to hear your comments around kind of these additional expenses that you will have next year, and how do you combine that with the fact that 2024, it seems to be the highest amortization year in the life of the bond.
Yeah. Hey, Thomas. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the question. I guess in terms of the dredging, we're following exactly the plan, which is having the maintenance dredging every 2 years. So this is not going to be a surprise to have a dredge there at the port making this clean in 2024. So we're going exactly as planned. I'm not sure about the second part of your question when you say the extra costs for the next year. So
I meant the debt service for 2024 in particular looks quite high. So I'm at the promo par level. So I'm thinking 2024 you're going to have these dredging costs, right, at the Ferroport level that will reduce the amounts of dividends probably received at the promo par level. So I'm just thinking, what are your expectations for the payment of the target amortization in 2024, given the additional cost that you're going to have at the Ferroport level?
Okay. Now I got it. Thanks for the clarification. So we can see that there's an increase on the curve that when we compare the payments for 2024 compared to the amounts of 2023. So if you sum up roughly, we have on 2023, the total amount touching almost 45 million, and we have 57 million for both payments in 2024. So I guess, again, when we built this back there on the sculpted curve, when we issued the bond, we knew that we have this dredging program every 2 years, and we have on the year that we don't have the dredging, of course, less pressure in terms of the costs involved and a little bit more pressure when we do have the dredging. So we built the curve already foreseeing those, and it shouldn't have any impact in terms of the payments for the forthcoming years, again, as this was something that we were already expecting to be done every 2 years.
I see. And Eugenio, can you provide more color then on what's the reason behind the spike in the debt service amounts for 2023 and 2024 then?
Well, so again, this was exactly the way we built the sculpted curve back there when we're preparing what would be the amortization profile. And we did at that time the projections that were based to build that. And those were following those assumptions that we had internally in terms of operations, in terms of costs involved, in terms of increasing the volume of iron ore throughout the years, and they were all impacting those. So it was again a profile that was built since the inception this way and following the projections we had.
Okay, all right. Then I have a couple of follow-up questions. The PPI indexation for 2023, do you already have the number on the tariff, how much they will go up this year?
So the process for this, it's we have in the beginning of the year a number that's what they call the preliminary, and then we have throughout the year. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's by June that they issued the. It's mid-year actually that they issued the, let's say, the final one. So we start to use the preliminary PPI for the year to make the escalation of the tariff until we have the final amount. So this preliminary one, it's around 5.7% for the year. And as we apply 2/3 of that PPI, we would have something around 3.8% for the escalation. And after the confirmation, which is, as I said, by June, then we would make any adjustments if necessary, depending on the potential changes on the final amount and the preliminary amount.
Okay, great. The next question is regarding the legal and tax disputes that you have outstanding. Has there been any change in the last quarter or so regarding these two?
No. What we actually provided within the financial statements, and we had a change on the total amount, but not due to the discussions on payment or not, or the likelihood of having those payments being done. But the total amount that was provisioned actually increased 2 million because the counterparty was making a request for increasing the total amount. And to be on the safe side, we increased the provision by 2 million due to that request within the process with this counterparty. But again, on the legal side, on the likelihood of winning or not, nothing changed. And we're just being a little bit more conservative with this 2 million BRL increase at the end of the day on the provisions.
Okay, great. The next question is, today I was kind of reading these rating reports from Moody's and the other rating agency, and they were kind of quoting that in case that there is a bankruptcy of a member of the shareholder group at the Ferroport level, meaning Anglo American or Prumo, you may, any of those other party may have impediments in exercising the rights under the shareholder agreement. So I'm just wondering if you can explain this to us, and also what are your conversations with the rating agencies regarding this point?
Okay, so it's true. There is this provision on the agreements that if for any reason any of the parties actually go through the bankruptcy process, they lose their voting rights. That was already known by the time we issued the bonds, and it was actually described and explained by the time we did that. In terms of, I can't talk about Anglo, of course, but on our side, nothing changed. And I guess you're referring to the report that came out from one of our subsidiaries, which is Porto do Açu. And we had some discussions by the time we were issuing the bond. Some of the potential investors at that time were actually reading that as being Prumo, so that report does not make this Prumo rating, but it's a Porto do Açu, which is a subsidiary of Prumo. And that's being done since the issuance at that level of that subsidiary. The maintenance rating process since the issuance of the debentures that we have there, since 2012, actually. So that's the regular process of them updating the report.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phone. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for that. Again, I'd like to thank you all for the participation on this earnings calls for the full year of 2022. Important to reinforce that we issued the report, and if you have any specific questions, we could do that through our investor relations email and/or make some calls to have those discussions. So thank you very much. Talk to you on the call for the earnings from on the first quarter of 2023 that will come up soon. Thanks a lot.
That thus concludes Prumo Participações Investimento S.A. financial results for the full year of 2022 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day and thank you for using Chorus Call.